Good afternoon. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Justin Kaufman is
That's
here.
That's right. In for Rokan today, keeping the
Not keeping the seat warm.
Keeping all you guys in check.
Okay.
I'm just a Rokan spy.
Disciplinarian. I knew you sounded different today.
Yeah. Ro, he calls me and he goes, "Listen, there's nothing wrong. I just want you to come in and see what people say about me.
Okay.
When I'm not there. So
do you have about 5 hours?
Sit down with Judy. I mean, that'll just exhaust you.
No, infra-roaches today.
Or entertain you.
Or entertain, exactly. No, I'm happy
so
to be here in for, but I am a spy, yeah. I'm a spy.
We'll be careful what we say then.
So be careful, everybody.
Although Ro is strong, as we know, and he expects to be back tomorrow. We hope that's the case and everything's well with him. Because we don't like it when things aren't well with
Ro. Yeah, absolutely. We got a great show lined up. This is a great, obviously a big news day today with the tax plan, the bill passing the House, and looks like the Senate may vote on it soon. So we're going to catch up on that story this hour.
Sure, one Senate vote and a presidential signature away from becoming law, and that could happen before Christmas if the president gets his wish, and it looks like it is largely procedural at this point. It's going to happen.
And we'll check in with Serena Marshall, and we'll find out who the winners and losers are. Anything that was specific or possibly different than, or unique
mm-hmm.
as expected in the House vote.
What changes and what happened
in the compromise behind closed doors. So we'll have a lot to talk about with Serena Marshall.
And I think there's a very interesting story out today about literally as soon as it passed, what this means for you at every income level, whether you're making $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, $250,000 or above. Kind of, it breaks it down very simply. What you should be getting back.
I have the story right in front of me. So if what we could do is just have people call 312-981-7200. Tell us what you do for a living.
That's
and
a
I could
idea.
Tell you what your tax is going
to
be.
That's a great idea. But then we also have to find out the details about mortgage interest and writing off
so
your health care and all that fun stuff.
I mean,
so
don't get me wrong. I'm excited because I feel like this is, good in a sense that in February we'll see less taxes, but I'm also concerned because I don't necessarily want to pass this on to future generations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot in here, and I want to make sure as well that a lot of the hysteria that was around this tax plan
is political, what's real.
Right, exactly. What's political, what's real? Let's figure this out.
Yeah, and we're going to attempt to do just that later on. We have Tom Skilling talking about what to expect as we head into the holiday weekend. Top 5 of 5 you won't believe. And this is a great story. This is so many of my friends, and I don't know about you, Justin, have had this experience. They swear when they uploaded the latest software on their Apple iPhone that they're accusing Apple of deliberately throttling the performance of their phone.
Absolutely. And I buy it completely.
And we have an expert, Andy Inako, of course, syndicated columnist, tech geek extraordinaire, and I don't think he'd mind me saying that, who knows this stuff inside and out, can talk about what's real about that and what, you know, maybe you're just sort of... You're misreading.
There's a lot of conspiracy theorists out there about when you get the updates for Apple, if it throttles the performance in the battery.
I think it's compatibility, though, that's more affected. Your device is not as up to date with the software.
No, I know this for a fact. I've done this in past software updates and just recently where you do it and there are specific changes, one of which is the battery just drained a lot quicker. You go from 30%, 40% to dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people complaining about service for any Apple product that is not the brand new Apple product. And that so there is something to be said about those conspiracy theorists, and we'll find out if it's actually true or not.
Because the other piece of that is that people believe that they want you to return and buy the new iPhone,
right?
So they're going to throttle it. But is that true, or does it have something to do with your older phone responding to that software? There are a lot of things to get to there, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Got the Globetrotters here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can finally try out. I've been trying to get their attention for a while.
Take serious skills, Justin.
I've been working a behind the back dribble.
How are you with basketball?
Yeah, it's really. I'm a C+ basketball player, but my dribbling skills, my ball
solid.
Handling skills, solid. So I'll try out today.
You're like the Kyrie Irving of radio hosts.
I am.
Best,
I would say
best handler of the ball in the game.
That's right.
Just don't be the Nikola Mirotic. Is he the one?
Nikola Mirotic could punch in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's now
the
star.
Who's the one who
do
punched
you guys
him?
See each other at the beard meetings? You guys kind of got that going for each other.
Yeah, you do.
He's on fire right now.
He is, 6 in a row. I would say I'm less than Kyrie Irving. I'd be like the John Lucas III of ball handling.
What a dropping.
Yeah. You like that? That's, going deep, you know, on that one, right?
I would say you're the best in my current power rankings of radio hosts who drop obscure athlete names.
I was like, what?
You're number one. I'm listening to your show at night. I'm like, yeah. Ooh, wow. How?
I'm the JoJo English of ball handling
skills. The Cubs utility man from 1994. Kaufman will just drop him in there randomly.
Right.
I like it.
Your knowledge is deep, Kevin, so that's pretty impressive. Yeah. We're going to break 15 minutes early today for Northwestern basketball. And please, whoever stole the Salvation Army kettle on Michigan Avenue twice, please return it. It's just wrong. No one likes seeing
my question. My question, and the video is awesome online, but my question is, he takes the whole stand with him. When he's noticed by someone, does he quickly stop and pretend like he's the guy? And then when they turn their head, he goes a little bit further?
He does. I've seen
is
the
that
video.
What he does?
He like picks it up and he's kind of standing there, kind of looking around. And then all of a sudden he's like, all right, forget it. I'm going with four.
I'm going for it.
And he just books it with the thing. Like, you know, like, he definitely changed his mind at least five times in a matter of like 30 seconds.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
And he stole it twice is the story.
He's the same guy?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's going on. So there's supposedly some good video of him circulating, so hopefully that person will return the kettle to the Salvation Army.
There you go.
So all that's coming up.
Big show, yeah.
And right now we're going to break for the traffic trouble spots, and for that we have to head over to Violetta Podramatic.
They're Chicago and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team, weekdays 4 to 10.
This is The Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Justin Kaufman is the voice you hear in studio with us today, as Ro is out today, back tomorrow, we hope, and he seems to give us every assurance that that should happen. But right now we want to talk about the train derailment situation. There's some new news, a couple pieces of news today that have come through. And we're going to get to Serena Marshall with ABC in just a moment. But first, give the gift of a great night's sleep. This is your last chance to buy everyone on your holiday shopping list a MyPillow order right now to get your MyPillow in time for Christmas. MyPillow are offering their signature four-pack special, 50% off. That's two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off. Just go to MyPillow.com. All right, we're going to check in with Serena Marshall again and talk about the tax plan, the tax overhaul, rather. And Serena, everyone's wondering now that it seems it's passed the House and likely to pass the Senate and get the president's signature. You know, what does it mean for them? Anything new, first of all, that has become part of this plan that we should know about?
Well, this is the same bill, that reconciled bill between the House version and the Senate version that we saw the final text of on Friday, that more than 1,000-page bill. They were able to shore up the votes of Marco Rubio and a couple other Republicans who weren't sure until they saw that final text, but it looks like it has passed the Senate and now it's moving on. Excuse me, it has passed the House and now it's moving on to the Senate. It could be on the president's desk by tonight.
Serena, my question is just that we've seen a lot of pushback against Senator Bob Corker. Senator Hatch came out and said he wrote the provision that we're about to pass through real estate. So are we expecting to see a pretty much a party line vote when it comes to the Senate vote and Bob Corker's going to vote yes? Or is there any sort of drama still up in the air about senators that may flip, go one way or the other?
Well, referring to that Senator Corker and that so-called kickback, he came out and spoke about that. He said he hasn't written a single word to this tax policy. It just hasn't been his focus. He quipped that he should maybe be embarrassed by that, but he had nothing to do with it, and that he only switched his position on Friday because he evaluated what would be better for Americans overall, and he came to the conclusion, even though this bill adds $1.5 trillion to the deficit, America would be better off. Now, he was one of the holdouts as well as Marco Rubio, Senator Collins, we were kind of watching, but so far they've all indicated they are a yes. This preliminary vote that they had to take in order to open up debate passed strictly along party lines, 51 Republicans voting for it. Senator McCain is at home recovering from some treatment that he had. But yeah, this is going to pass the Senate and it's going to pass exactly on Republican party line.
Serena, we were talking earlier that about an hour from now, we're actually going to break down what people's professions are and ask some people to call in and explain what it is. And we have a pretty detailed list here of what you might expect to have either an increase or maybe not not get to take in your take-home pay. But the things that are still sort of hanging out there, and we discussed this with John Williams earlier, the tax deductions for medical expenses and education, are those still intact? What do we know about those issues?
So this final bill, it basically was a nice middle ground between the Republican Senate version and the Republican House version. It kept the seven tax brackets, but it did reduce all of them, including that top bracket down to 37%. And it kept a lot of those deductions that people were concerned about, including the student loan interest deduction. Medical expense deduction is preserved, but it has been changed also. It allows Americans to deduct medical expenses not covered by insurance that exceeds 10% of their adjusted gross income. So that is slight change as well. But a lot of those things like the standard deduction were doubled. We knew that was going to happen. And the corporate tax rate, that also we saw a slight uptick. It's now 21% down from 35%. So a lot of those questions between the Senate and House version, they really kind of came together and met in the middle. For example, real estate deduction, that was a $500,000 cap in the Senate bill. They brought that up to $750,000 in the final version.
And then also, you know, for us here in Illinois, especially in the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. the big thing that is hard to read and decipher through all the news reports is about being able to get state and local taxes deducted on your federal, so your property taxes and so forth. Where are we with that? I mean, I've texters that are texting in right now who are still confused about whether or not Illinois' property tax would be able to be deducted in this plan.
Right.
Yeah, so it doubles the amount of the current exemption from the estate tax, but those itemized deductions, that is the question. So state and local deductions are capped at $10,000 combined for any and all categories, property, income, sales, etc. The current law caps property tax deductions at $1 million, and there are no current caps on state, local income tax deductions.
Serena, my last question just about Democrats. Democrats, of course, you hear from the president that the Democrats did not participate in this plan, but you also hear from Democrats saying they were instructed or they were not allowed to participate due to reconciliation and others. What's the Democrats' what's their tone today as this is marching through Washington?
Democrats are adamant that this is the worst bill they've ever seen, that it was written behind closed doors without enough public input. It didn't go through the standard process, according to them. They thought it should have seen a lot more of a markup in committee. It should have been written in committee and had, so like, for example, the Affordable Care Act went through a year of committee hearings before it went into law. But the big thing also with this bill to keep in mind is that while those corporate tax rates are permanent, a lot of these deductions we're going to see expire in 10 years, and you'll see a snapback to the current rate. So Democrats are also pushing that recent analysis by the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center that predicted when that snapback occurs in 2027, 86 million people would see a tax increase compared to the current law, and 83% of the anticipated benefit would actually be reaped by the wealthiest 1% of taxpayers. So Democrats are really pushing that line. Well, Republicans say, look, you got to see what happens with this tax bill. Once it's into law, you'll see the benefit firsthand. You'll see corporations coming back and more money in your pocket, and you'll get behind this bill, even though right now four polls find that the majority of Americans disapprove of this legislation.
All right, we shall see. Thank you, Serena. Serena Marshall, ABC News correspondent in D.C., bringing us the latest on the tax plan there. And coming up, as we suggested, we're going to talk about your profession, what it might mean for you, break it down profession by profession, right, and ask people to call in.
Like, for instance, I could go for radio host, but I'm also a model.
Oh,
you know, because I'm,
didn't know that
I'm
about
a model.
You're a Zoolander.
I'm a very Zoolander type model, so I want to see what the deduction does for me. So, you know, if you are a model like myself, my model friends.
I didn't know you were a model. So many talents. Basketball player,
basketball model,
radio host. What
unique
else?
Unique 80s references of baseball, basketball, and football players.
It's
I can
impressive.
Do it all.
Yeah.
Isn't it an impressive resume?
Yeah.
We had no idea what greatness we were working with today.
Renaissance, man.
Speaking of greatness, we've got Judy's News coming up in 2 minutes. This is The Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlanta. Sitting in this afternoon is Justin Kaufman.
I'm here. I'm actually, well, there's Northwestern basketball today, and then I'm back on
for
at 9:30 to 11 tonight. So this is a full day of Kaufman.
I think you need to nap in between, just a little cat nap.
Yeah.
What are you going to do in between?
I'll just do a podcast in between.
Wow.
Yeah, do something else.
That's motivated.
Right.
It's a little too much for this show.
I know.
Maybe Dave Bennett, maybe I can go and replace Dave on the play-by-play.
Oh my gosh!
For the Cats game, just so listeners are consistently inundated with Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. I say go take a nap.
Yeah.
That might be better. It's very millennial, right?
I'll nap during the traffic updates. How about that?
Oh, burn.
That hurt. Sorry. I just rose gone and I felt the need to, you know, jump in there. All right, let's get to more serious business here. We're talking about the latest on the train derailment on the West Coast. And Alex Stone from ABC News is joining us with the latest on that. And Alex, there are two pieces of news that I saw today that are very relevant to what is being new in this situation, that the train was speeding 50 miles per hour over the speed limit when it hit that curve, but also that their potential a safety net there designed to prevent these very types of accidents might not have been in place.
Exactly, on both of those. So first of all, they were going 80 miles an hour when they were in a 30 mile per hour zone because of a very tight curve. And I'm looking at that curve right now, and it's about a 90 degree turn that they had to make. There was no way they were going to make that going 80 miles an hour. Just the laws of physics that you can imagine the G's that they would have been pulling going 80 miles an hour and going around a very tight turn.
Yeah.
That not only the train is going to have a tough time taking that, the humans inside are going to be flying all along one side of the train, even if it could survive it. So there are questions about that. The NTSB wants to know the engineer, what was he doing? What was going on in the cab of the locomotive? Was he not paying attention? Was he disoriented in where they were, being a new route? Was he incapacitated in some way? Was there a mechanical issue? Mm-hmm. He didn't make any sort of mayday call to say that he was having problems, but was there some problem where he couldn't stop? And then the other part of that, Anna, yeah, the positive train control, which is a technology that the NTSB has been saying for years every train should be using. Congress has mandated it, but Congress didn't give any money for companies to implement it, and they have to pay whoever owns the rail line to get it in place. And both the train has to have it and the rail has to have it as well, so they can talk to each other. And a calculation done in 2016 showed nationwide only about a quarter of rail in the U.S. That was carrying passengers had this technology in it. Most, if you're on a train, even if the train has positive train control, most of the rail doesn't to allow it to work. And if it had been working, it likely would have jumped in and taken over like autopilot and said, well, wait a second, the engineer isn't responding. What's going on? And at that point would have slowed down the train so this wouldn't have happened.
Well, you had the, hey, Alex, Justin here. But there was the tweet that came out from the president demanding infrastructure and essentially calling for that we need better infrastructure in this country. When you hear that Congress has mandated this positive train control and said that this is part of what we think is good for train travel in this country, yet they don't actually put any money towards it, and it's up to the states to do so. Does it get a little disingenuous when you start talking about we need upgrades in infrastructure when we all know we do? There's already been mandates for this. There's just no money.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are a couple of issues with what the president said yesterday. One, he was talking about upgrading the rail line, and that's exactly what they just did here. They upgraded the rail line so that they could run the trains faster, and now this happened. Two, being that it doesn't look like this is necessarily an infrastructure problem. It seemed like he was jumping on it very quickly in the sense of the rail lines needed to be upgraded.
Right.
It looks like this may end up being, and we don't know, the NTSB hasn't, and it'll be a long time before they have a cause,
sure,
but this could end up being human error of some kind because they were going so fast. And three, when it comes down to the funding, that the budget blueprints from the White House actually take money away from Amtrak and away from train travel. Yes, infrastructure, but the positive train control is a very expensive computer system that is not covered under any of the infrastructure projects of building rail line, building roads, fixing roads. So it wouldn't be covered by any of that. So the rail folks who are working this scene have some issue with what was presented yesterday from the White House in that they say none of that was really relevant to what just happened here.
Alex, I hadn't heard. Has foul play been ruled out in this situation, or is that still part of the investigation?
It hasn't been ruled out, but there's nothing pointing toward it. Unless the engineer comes in and says, man, it all of a sudden accelerated and it had been tampered with somehow, then that would be something completely different. But you know, there were a lot of questions because down the rail line in Olympia, several months ago, protesters, and some claimed they're Antifa, others said no, they were just protesters against all kinds of building and whatnot, that they had modified, they had manipulated and tampered with the tracks, that they, in one case, allegedly put concrete on the tracks, but they claim as a group that they would always call and tell the rail authority that it was done because they didn't want anybody to get hurt. They just wanted to block the the rail cars coming through. And they say it was never about passenger travel. It was about movement of cargo and different things that they were carrying. Now, that doesn't seem to come into play at all here. They are looking at the tracks, but they haven't found anything. Nothing that you pour on the tracks is going to make the train accelerate right. To 80 miles an hour and not brake. And it didn't actually accelerate beyond what it had already been doing. It was doing 80 miles an hour on a long stretch where they were allowed to do that. It just appears that nobody ever hit the brakes and didn't slow down before the 30-mile-an-hour turn.
Yeah, I remember hearing passengers saying we were beating the traffic on the highway there, so it did appear they were traveling at that speed, and they knew it. I saw ABC News push out a bunch of some pictures of what the passengers on board this train must have, what they went through, the shattered windows, the damage and upside-down cars, and just the horrors that it must have, the horrors they encountered at that moment when you just didn't know what was happening. But I think it causes everyone to revisit this issue, and I know it's come up for decades, about seatbelts on Amtrak trains and the fact that there are none. And is that something being revisited? Is that something they'll be looking at again?
Well, quite possibly. You know, after these sorts of things, they look at all of them, and we can say that there's a good chance that a lot of people survived because of previous accidents and modifications that have been made. Every time there is a train crash like this, they make changes to how the train cars are built, and they have built things like breakaway tables. If you're thinking you're sitting on a commuter train at a table, that thing will break away, whereas it used to be at one point, was attached to the train, and if you got crushed by that in a crash, you were crushed by it and you couldn't get out. Now they've made them, so if you're in a crash, that table breaks away and you can just get right out. The windows for escaping, a number of different things that they have done because of previous incidents that they have been able to say, okay, more people are surviving now, the materials that they're making them out of, and there's a chance that the death count isn't all that high because of what they were able to do. It's pretty incredible. And yes,
yeah, it's
horrendous that the three people died. Mm-hmm. But of the 84 passengers and crew on board, when you look at this crash site and rail cars that went over, you know, the overpass and down onto the freeway below and are completely destroyed, only three people died in this crash. It's pretty amazing.
It is. Do you have since I know you're a West Coast correspondent, can you weigh in on the wildfires in California and the very latest there? I know they seem to have turned a little bit of a corner with, last I heard, 50% containment of that Thomas fire, the largest fire out there on the West Coast. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they're looking a whole lot better. I left the fire line yesterday morning to come up here, and it was looking a lot better on the Thomas fire. The other fires are done and good to go. The Thomas fire is about 50% contained. There is no more raging flame anywhere near Montecito and Carpinteria, which we had seen on Saturday when everything took off and some mansions were lost in Montecito. No more raging flame really anywhere on the fire line. They're trying to button it up, though, because tomorrow night and Thursday, there's an expectation of Santa Ana winds coming back, and then they really need to try to knock down any sort of hot spots. But they hit it hard yesterday. They've hit it hard today. They said Sunday was actually one of their best days yet on the fire line. They're making a lot of progress. If it doesn't kick back up, it seems like the worst may be behind them.
You know, I was looking at a map, and to get a sense of the magnitude of how large this fire really is, they superimposed the fire over the Chicago area, and they said from the lake west to like St. Charles, it would go up to Libertyville, down to like Orland Park. And you think about how the monster size of this blaze. And it's truly, again, remarkable that more lives weren't lost. I know there was a firefighter who tragically lost his life trying to contain this fire, and 1,000 homes, I believe. But it's truly seems as if firefighters really did a remarkable, if not miraculous, job out there.
Yeah, and they've come in from a dozen states. They've been working 24-hour shifts, and incredible the work they've been doing. I just pulled up our official Santa Ana Wind Wildfire Threat Index that the government puts together, and they're calling for moderate Santa Ana winds on Thursday, and then now moderate on Saturday, and then on Sunday, all throughout Southern California, pretty serious Santa Ana winds. Again, we're talking Christmas Eve.
Oh,
is going to have extreme fire danger in Southern California. I mean, it's insane what Southern California has been going through, that almost the entire month of December has been Santa Ana wind, something that we normally only see for a couple of days here and there during the fall. And the whole month has been blowing Santa Ana winds except for these last 2 days. and we're going to get right back into severe weather this weekend.
And you got to, you know, that when you've heard from some of those people out there, they were hoping and praying they'd get back into their homes in time for Christmas. And they've been, and if you're in the evacuation zone, some of those people have been out for 2 weeks. They have no idea, really no contact to the area or where their home might be. Let's hope it turns out for the best out there for them. Alex Stone, ABC News, thanks for checking in with us, as always. Good
thanks,
to talk
Alex.
To you.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Time to check the traffic travel spots, and for that, we head over to Violetta Podramatic.
It's the Rokant Show with Anna DeVellantes. I'm Justin Kaufman in for Rokant today.
You still have your download tonight, but an abbreviated version.
Northwestern basketball comes on. We'll throw to Dave and Joey Meyer at 6:45,
nice.
And they will play till 9 o'clock hour. We'll take over at that point.
Good.
Lots to do coming up. Tom Skilling's going to be coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Also, the Harlem Globetrotters coming through. How great is that?
That is great. I love the Harlem. It's like, isn't it like a childhood memory? I think a lot of people saw them first as a kid, and then over the years, they're still
incredible. My childhood memory of the Harlem Globetrotters has nothing to do with it. It's the commercials they used to show on GN. But then they would also be guest stars on the Scooby-Doo cartoon. So it would always be like the special guests where the Harlem Globetrotters in cartoon form would help out Scooby and the gang to solve mysteries.
Did they get to do the voices? I guess.
And it would be like, oh, it's Curly and you know, all the guys.
All the favorite guys.
Metalark, yeah.
What I love is when they come in studio, they make you look like a rock star because they get that ball going on your finger, one finger, your pointer finger sticking up, and you look like, yeah, I can do this.
I can do this.
And then for some reason, you never can replicate that. It's just the way it goes.
Tom Skilling coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour, see if we'll get any snow before Christmas or on Christmas, but also coming up. You know, we talked about in the last hour the new tax plan, which is being re-voted on in the House, which seems to be procedural. But it's going to pass the House and possibly and probably pass the Senate and to the president's desk by before Christmas this week, probably signed by the end of the week. But there's a story that came out today that has pretty a very interesting way to see how this tax plan is affecting you, right? I mean, so essentially, if you're – let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. This story breaks it down. So – if you're a bartender,
yes,
and it says that your average, it's an average salary. There's bartenders that make more, some that make less. But let's say it's $25,580.
Mm-hmm.
The current tax on your job is $1,800, $1,811. The new tax would be $1,439. That is a 20.5% decrease.
And almost $400 extra in your pockets.
So there you go. So that's, we have a list, Anna, of all these jobs. There's all these kind of jobs. So if you want to give us a ring and text in what you do, or you can call and get on the line.
At 440.
In the 440 segment, we will tell you what we got here. 312-981-7200. Because that seems to me
what
to
people
be what
want to know.
Yeah, they want to know. They're like, everything else around here is a lot of hysteria. But at the end of the day, you want to know what... if you're paying more or paying less.
Well, who wants to read the tax bill in its entirety? Nobody. But you want to know how it impacts you. And it's good to hear there were no last-minute real surprises. But, of course, here, when we look at these numbers about what you're going to get back in your pocket, you have to factor in the state and local income taxes and the mortgage deductions and how that affects you. So this is just a guideline. But you know what your own situation is in terms of your mortgage and that kind of thing. So I think it's helpful. Very helpful.
Well, maybe we'll get the Harlem Globetrotters. Be like, can you tell us how much you make, and we'll tell you how much you're getting back.
You think they'll tell us?
I hope they make.
They should make a lot.
I hope they make a ton of money just for the trick shots.
Yeah, I would hope so, too.
All right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back, and we'll get Judy's news here. It's Rokant Show with Anna DeVellantes, Justin Kaufman filling in.
This is the Rokant Show with me, Anna DeVellantes, Justin Kaufman, sitting in this afternoon. We're going to talk to Tom Skilling in just a minute, but we've got something else.
Yeah,
we
coming up a little bit later in the hour, we've got the list of jobs and what you're going to be paying in taxes. Everything from firefighters to paralegals to drivers,
human resources specialists, PR specialists.
312-981-7200. We'll do that after the 4:30 hour. We'll tell you what you might be getting back with the new tax plan. I don't see weather superstar in this. That's the problem. I don't see.
Well, the value of Tom Skilling is
weatherman
like the MasterCard ad. It's priceless. You couldn't put a value on him. That's why, Tom.
Yeah, right, Anna.
That's it. Especially at times like this.
You know, I lobbied for a tax break for weather people, but it didn't work out.
You couldn't get that in, like the Corker exception or whatever, the Skilling exemption or the whatever?
No, didn't get it this time. But
it's disgusting.
There's always, you know, next time.
The weatherman lobby has been stronger, Tom. It has been stronger.
That's what we got.
It's weakened.
What is it, down on K Street, down in Washington?
Right. Rally your Fermilab friends.
Yeah.
Those are outspoken, really bright guys.
I know.
They'd be able to be persuasive, I would think.
They are.
You got them to D.C.
You're absolutely right.
I heard your forecast, and I was wondering, everyone's wondering, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, could you see a little bit of snow?
There could be. There's a little disturbance. There are two we're watching. One lives out of Arkansas. Friday night and Saturday may swipe the area. One model suggested that might be enough to produce some sticking snow over part of the area, at least Friday night, Saturday morning. But when you have only one model and the other ones aren't on board with that, confidence in that is low. But Christmas Day, then, there's another little disturbance, kind of a clipper-type system that comes into the area. So that might produce a little Christmas snow. But, you know, historically, the chance of a white Christmas around here varies from 38% to 43%, depending on what part of the Chicago area you're talking about. So it's not a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination. Never has been historically.
That's amazing to hear. I just think growing up in the area that
you feel like it was a lot, don't you?
But I guess I'm just revisionist history.
Because you remember the ones maybe when there was the snowfall.
No, it's true.
The others.
We had one Christmas back in 1951 when there was 17 inches of snow on the ground at Midway Airport, and there was 30 inches on the ground out in Aurora. That's the biggest snow total, according to our state climatologist that we've ever had around the area. But, you know, most of the time, and we define, by the way, a white Christmas as having an inch or more of snow on the ground at 6 in the morning. One of my colleagues, Steve Kahn, said, you know, that's not a very good definition because what if it snows during the day? And that doesn't count as a white Christmas. So they went back and combed through the records and found that there were actually 10 additional Christmases that if you use the definition of 1 inch any point during the day, you'd add that to the list, and the chance of a white Christmas went up to 45%.
Right. And it doesn't count to get the snow on Friday because by the time you get to Sunday, it's going to be gray.
I know.
And it's we're not looking for a gray Christmas.
One thing, though, Justin, there's some very cool air settling down. We're going to bring a pretty good lobe of Arctic air down here. That'll start hitting on Saturday. We'll start in the morning around 32 and fall to the 20s during the day, and then stay in the 20s on Sunday. Christmas Day may struggle to get to 20, and then upper teens are forecast by Tuesday next week, and we could awaken to a single-digit temperature. But, you know, last year, by this time, we'd had 3 sub-zero days, 7 single-digit days, and on this date a year ago, the high was 15 and the low was 13 below.
Wow.
So what a difference a year makes. Well, and today we hit, you know, 50 at O'Hare and 51 at Midway. This is beautiful.
I was going to ask you, I mean, where does this set to be this warm at 51 degrees?
It's amazing.
This late? Are we getting into record territory for that?
No, not even close. Interestingly enough, the record for the date is 64, set back in 1877. So we didn't get good close year to a record, but we are way above normal. The normal high is about 34. So to hit 50 or 51, as we did at both of the city observation sites, that's an accomplishment. You know, it's not bad.
Tom, I want to ask you about snowfall as well, where we are with that. Because, again, that's one of those things where I feel like most Decembers we've had more snow than this.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's just, again, thinking of an idyllic childhood and trying to recreate that. But is this low?
Anna, you are right on. And, in fact, you know, normally we talk about season to date. But if you look at the calendar day snow since January 1, both that's lacking and the seasonal snow. We've had 2.1 inches of snow. We'd had 17.7 inches by this time a year ago. So we're way below normal on snowfall. And for the year, we've only had a little over 11 inches at Midway, 10 inches at Midway, or at O'Hare since Jan 1. Normally, you're up in the mid-30s. So this is the lowest since snow measurements started at Midway Airport back in 1929, that the lowest Midway Airport snow tally for the year to date that has ever occurred, and it's the fourth lowest over the term of official records that go back to 1884-85 on snowfall. Our temperature records go back to the Chicago fire. Our snow records go back to 1884-85. Apparently, nobody wanted to stick a ruler in the, you know, snow between 1871 and 1884-85.
Is that why? I don't know what's going on there, Tom.
Yeah, I don't know what that's all about.
They had other things going on.
Here's the deal. You know, the Army Signal Corps started taking the observations in 1871. The Weather Service in this country came into being because there was concern about shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. Mm-hmm. So there was a scientist up in Milwaukee by the name of Increase Lapham who wrote to Congress in 1868 and said, hey, all these sailors are dying on the Great Lakes and nobody's warning them about storms. Jeez. So President Ulysses S. Grant signed the law into that established the Army Signal Corps as our first weather gathering agency. And then the United States Weather Bureau was born from that some decades later. And it's become the National Weather Service.
How about that?
The best. Tom Skilling not only giving us
weather encyclopedia,
snow, but then he's also given us a history of maritime weather.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was over at the UK Met weather office about 2 years ago. Their weather operation over there started because of concerns about mariners as well. So both countries' weather services came into being because of the concern over shipwrecks. Mm-hmm. And the guy who was behind it over in England was the one who took Darwin down to the Galapagos Islands to do his evolution studies.
Gee, and that changed the course of science, didn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting. I forget, Tom, are you a snow person? I mean, do you like to get the toboggan out? Do you go out and enjoy it? Or what's the deal when you're...
And I'm beyond the toboggan years, but I
I picture you on a toboggan somehow. Let's get out there.
Let's do it. If you saw me on cross-country skis, I mean, this would be...
Oh, yeah, but you told us about that.
Yeah.
That wasn't pleasant.
I go out and do it, and I do it badly. I mean, really badly. And my biggest fear any time I've been on a ski hill is that I was going to kill somebody, you know, and coming down. So I stay off ski hills.
You do. Yeah. Entirely. And then you don't do the cross-country anymore either since you fell... Didn't you face plant or something?
Well,
isn't that the story?
I still go out and do that at times.
Oh.
Heck, we haven't had much to work with in recent years, you know?
I know it. And that's the thing. We have this, my daughter's sled right by the front door, and it's there, and it's looking very lonely lately.
I know.
Usually by now it's got like a lot of crud on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's been out a couple times, but we didn't have that.
It's true. We ran a story the other night on the TV site here about how people were using the water that's frozen along the lakefront on some of the beaches because of these high water levels. And the water pools on some of the beaches and freezes, and it makes a pretty good skating rink. But I can't help but think if you're trying to do the backyard skating rink, you can't like today's 50-degree temperature.
No.
It messes it up, right?
Wouldn't be safe.
Yeah, right? That's right. But I'll tell you... You know, put the sprinklers out and get ready because we're going to have a good week and a half of cold weather. It'll be good to set the backyard skating rink if you're into that in the next week and
a half. I like the Maggie Daly ice ribbon.
Did you?
There's the ice rink, which is awesome in Millennium Park, and then the ice ribbon.
That looks really
amazing.
Cool. Did you like that?
You feel like, at first it's intimidating because it looks like there's some speed skaters who take the inner lane and they're just thinking about the one arm behind their back and they're just going by. You're like, oh gosh, I'm not sure I can do this. And then you're on the right and you're kind of clinging to the railing, but it doesn't matter because a lot of people are doing that. It's like if somehow it accommodates all skill levels, even though it's a pretty narrow.
There's nothing worse than a public skating rink show off. You know, it's like, oh, I used to do this in college. Watch, and then it's just like a triple Lutz, and you're like, what are you doing? Triple axle.
They got the full aerodynamic kind of costume on.
And you're like, all right, we get it. You're athletic,
right?
But they don't.
How about you guys? Do you skate? Anna, we know you try. Does Justin do that?
I am. Definitely letting my parents down. They are outside people, nature, the whole bit.
Yeah.
I don't go anywhere near
it. But somehow it didn't transfer through the gene pool.
Funny because we all took ice skating lessons growing up, but my sister managed to be so good that she skated with Dorothy Hamill at Rainbow Ice Rink in some kind of special they did, I think, for NBC, and Warner Saunders was the host of that.
Wow.
And it was just kids around Chicago enjoying the city kind of thing. And because she was such a great ice skater, I was so jealous, she got to do this kind of thing where she went to Rainbow and skated with Dorothy and Big Bird. Big Bird was out there and then moved on to all these other fabulous locations.
That's very cool.
See?
Hey, Tom, can I have a question for you.
Sure.
I want to switch the topic just a second, just about the wildfires in California.
Oh,
You know, and it's awful, obviously, with the Thomas Fire becoming, it's going to, on course to be the biggest in California history. And we heard Alex Stone talking about how the Santa Ana winds are supposed to pick up to extreme levels on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
Right.
I don't think people recognize it. I know I didn't.
Yeah.
But the concept that those winds, and when we talk about extreme, they're at hurricane force. I mean, these are big wind gusts that people in Chicago may not, we think, oh, winds are picking up fire. But this is some serious wind gusts that we don't see in this area.
Well, you know, Justin, mountains generate their own winds. And we call these downsloping winds katabatic winds. And what happens is, if you get a high pressure planted in the Great Basin, which is in the interior of the Rockies, the winds turn easterly out there in California. In other words, they blow from east to west. So these come down the mountains, and as air sinks out of mountains, it expands through heating, and this draws air down the mountains even faster. And there's compressional warming and drying that goes on in the process. So these winds are insidious on multiple fronts. They're dry. The canyons channel the winds out there. And then on top of that, you have a strong wind that downslopes. The counterpart to the Santa Ana winds are the Chinook winds that blow from west to east mm-hmm. on the east slopes of the Rockies. And these are the winds that roar into Boulder and Denver and Wyoming and Montana. And over in Switzerland, they call them the Föhn winds. And there's a lot of mythology that exists over there. They believe heart attacks occur with the Föhn winds over in Europe, and these downsloping winds there. So up in Alaska, they have a counterpart to they have their own Chinook winds up there. So all these mountain ranges generate their own winds. But the problem is, we've got climate change superimposed in this, which builds these big domes of warm air that essentially route all the rain. This should be rainy season in California.
Isn't that strange? And that would help so much, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not present. They're just not seeing a drop.
No. It the pattern is changing. There may be a period, as I heard you guys discussing this, of strong Chinook winds, but it's part of a pattern change. They may ultimately bring some moisture onshore. To have the wildfire season extending to Christmas is unheard of. It's without historic precedent. And these wildfire seasons used to cover a couple of months out there. Now they're covering much of the year. Yeah. So you can get fires almost any time of the year out there.
Yeah, and you're right. The most recent severe fires, the 1, 2, and 3 on the list are 2003, I think 2012, and then this one, the Thomas Fire, which is just, it's on track to become the worst in state history.
And over 9 million acres have burned in this country this year.
Think about that.
Over 6 million is about the 10-year average. So we're way above that. And the same in Canada. They had record acreage burned this year. Up there, they're moving in on 8 million acres that have burned over in Canada. And remember, we had all that smoke making those beautiful sunsets for a while, a couple months back?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then they're finding this ash goes up into the Arctic region, settles on the glaciers, and colors the otherwise white reflective surface. And this increases the rate by darkening the ice surface up there. Mm-hmm. This leads to increased melting and speeds up the melting in the polar regions.
The knee bone is connected to the hip bone.
Yes, none of it's good
that's
either.
Right.
All right, Tom, thank you so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you later,
awesome,
guys.
Tom,
good
you.
To talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too. Coming up, we're going to talk about your job, whatever your profession is, and what the tax bill will mean for you. We're going to break it down job by job.
Yep.
But first, we're going to talk to the traffic person doing her job and the traffic trouble spots, Violetta Podramatic.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Justin Kaufman here this afternoon and into the evening. And we've got a lot coming up. Or we just talked to Scale.
I'm the Mike Glennon to Rokan's Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, well, let's hope you perform better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That was a disappointment.
I'm a clock manager.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Keep us on schedule.
Yeah.
And you keep everybody on best behavior.
I check it down when it's a 3rd and 10 and we need a play. I throw a 2-yard pass.
Don't get too cocky out there. We don't need any turnovers.
Seriously.
Don't open in a window for our opponents.
This is a lot of hype.
A punt is as good. A punt is as good, guys.
Hand the ball off and don't turn it over. Backup quarterback's job.
Yeah. All right. Hold the clipboard well.
Exactly.
Oh, man, it's clock. We're late. Your teammates are
out
here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. What do you do for a living? You tell me and Anna, and we will tell you what you're going to get in tax breaks from the new tax plan, which has passed the House, or is going to pass the House, because they have to vote again procedurally, and then pass the Senate. So whether it's nurse, practitioner, we've got actuary, I got aerospace engineer.
Accountants,
human resource specialists, what do we got?
Detectives, cops, computer programmers, male
model.
How about radio news anchor?
Radio news anchor.
They've got correspondent and reporter on here.
Well, okay, that works.
That should work. We'll answer your question to Judy coming up.
There we go.
Not quite yet.
All right, so let's take a break. Then we'll get Judy's news. Stay with us.
This is The Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. We have Justin Kaufman from The Download sitting
getting
in for Ro today.
Heated up.
Yeah.
Getting heated up, man. You get a good song in here.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's rolling with some music. We're getting to the afternoon rush. No better place to be.
And we've got a great subject matter here because I think everyone says, okay, great. Tax plan looks like it's going through. The House revoted, right, Judy? Wasn't there a revote?
No, you know what's going to happen? They're going to have to revote tomorrow after the Senate fixes those problems. So the Senate will be up to vote next.
Okay, but it does seem like the House issue was
It passed
procedural.
By quite a fair margin. Yeah, okay. It's so the definitely Senate
will,
procedural.
Right, the Senate will pass and they'll have to go back to the House. So Paul Ryan gets to gavel it. Again.
And did you see the gavel fell a little bit?
Gosh.
He was, I think, the most shocked.
He seemed nervous. It seemed strange. But I guess it is the most signature legislation passed.
There's nothing better than watching the Speaker of the House mess up the gavel. Like that's
something they should have down pat.
Right.
Got it? And pat it. Just pat the gavel. Don't slam it down.
They haven't passed much lately, though.
Well, exactly. It's the first time he's done that.
That's a good point.
All right, so we've got a great article that was put out today. Business Insider put out a piece about what Trump's tax plan means for people at every income level.
And every profession.
They list a good 10, 15 pages of professions and what and the salary range would be. It's an average, of course, and what you pay in tax now and what you will pay in tax from the new bill. So we thought we would get into some of those. Take your calls, 312-981-7200, and your texts. I've got a ton of professions that have texted. Why don't we start with Paul?
Well, okay.
And bring Paul in since he's been holding on the line for a while now. Paul, thanks for calling in. What's your job? And I'll see what I can do for you.
Okay, financial sales, married, okay. No children, $200,000 a year income. Property taxes, around $12,000.
All right, I got you.
And...
So you're $2,000 above the limit on the – it's a $10,000 mortgage and combined state and local income taxes. So you obviously have your payment into that.
And I'm not an accountant, Paul. I'm not going to go through all your deductions.
Like those are considerations.
All right, here's what I got for you. You ready for this? Okay, so they've got you in the financial service sales agent category.
Yeah.
And they will actually average down. So your average salary is much higher. They say $102,000, right? And they say the current tax for that so $15,000 would be current tax, $15,600, and under the new plan it would be $14,300. So you would get an 8% tax cut, and like Anna said, you could double it. Although when you go up to the higher end,
you're right. If I look at the $200,000 range, which they say is family general practitioners and some other professions are sort of in that range, some business owners, they say the $200,000 range, your current tax would likely be around $37,000. Tax under the Republican plan would just about be a little bit more, an inch more, about 1.1% increase in taxes. And then remember, you're going to see the state and local income tax, you're largely going to feel a pinch from that and your mortgage as well, because you're combining that now. $10,000 is the amount you can deduct total, and everything above that you're still going to have to pay the taxes on.
A little bit of break even there, Paul.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, what do you do, bud?
Hey, I'm a union carpenter.
Okay.
That's on here.
I work pretty regular. I'm not like a regular union carpenter. I mean, it's seasonal usually, but I have a well-established job. Okay. So,
well, they've got two areas. They don't have they don't break it down specifically into carpenter, but they have construction laborer, which I guess would be close, or electrician, which is in that area. And they say average salary of a construction laborer, which I think might be a little low. Here is $37,800, right? They say, that's what they're again. They're going average, right? So let's say that you're a little higher than that. But just in general, laborers and electricians, because they have electricians higher at around $56,600. Let's do that one.
Okay.
The current tax for that is $64,65. The tax under the new plan would be $57,63. Your winner with a 10.9% tax deduction, or not deduction, but decrease.
Yeah.
So there you go. So it looks like at
10%.
That level, 10%. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go spend it before you get it. Thanks, Scott. All right.
Don't do that. Terrible advice.
All right. Let's go to Mike. Now, Mike, I am fascinated. This is going to be the best part about this segment. I am fascinated about what you do because it does not show up, and I want to know more.
I'm a what they call a cryo cooler specialist.
Sure.
And that is it's really two parts that are inside of an MRI machine.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so it's really complicated, fun stuff.
All right, and you're a specialist, so let's put you so let's say that I'm looking for something that's close to near, but let's say it's 32,000, right? 34,000, somewhere in that area. And right now, the current tax on that, if we look at that, is about 34.58. And the tax under the Republican plan would be 27.57. That's a 20% tax cut for that range, Mike. There you
go. Very nice.
20%.
I like to hear that.
Like I said,
some more money in your pocket.
Maybe a weekend trip to Hammond for the casinos with that 20%.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's double it.
Double it.
Right.
630 says librarian.
Oh.
50,000. Let's see what they have that's on here. Yep. Librarian actually comes in at 59.8. So you're a little bit less.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to go to your boss, get a raise. But 59.8. The current tax is 71.26. The new tax would be 64.71. That's a tax cut of 9%.
Very nice.
That doesn't matter.
Money in your pocket.
630 also asks, why does it matter what your job is? I think it has much more to do with your salary range.
It does.
I'm trying to have a little etiquette here.
They're just talking about averages for these types of professions. So someone might call in and say, hey, I make $100,000 in this position, but the average for it might be $67,000 something like that. You're right. It has more to do with what you're making, but we're just sort of trying to give generals so that people who also fall in that category closer to the average might understand and have it be meaningful.
And
for
we don't just ask people when they call, how much do you make?
That's another thing. It's a little bit of etiquette here. A little bit of, just trying to
let's go to Janine.
Keep it classy.
Janine, how much do you make? No, don't answer.
Maybe she doesn't.
Janine, what do you do, Janine?
I work for a publishing company and I'm a circulation manager.
Okay, that doesn't really show up here, but I think I know where that would be, though. Hold on. I know that would be. I would say like public relations specialist, insurance, like in that area. Uh-huh. So like $70,000 area is what we'll say.
And I'm a single parent.
Oh,
okay.
A child.
I don't know. I don't have that in front of me, like what you're going to get in deductions and stuff like that. I just have specifically what the current tax is for what you do and what it would be under the plan. So let's do that. I've got.
Okay.
Let's just say that the number is 76,730, the current tax is 10,571, and the new tax would be 9,883, 6.5% cut. You got 6% coming back to you, Janine.
Good. I need it.
Happy holidays. There you go.
Happy holidays, Janine.
All right, there's some good stuff here. Let's see. There's such good stuff.
We were talking earlier about did the medical expense deduction and student loan deduction stay intact, and there was a compromise on that. So you're going to have to Google that to see how it specifically affects you, but that there is still a tax write-off for those expenses.
Let me throw out a couple here. We've got a teacher at $90,000. That doesn't show up here, but civil engineers make $90,000. So let's do an 89,730. The current tax is $13,161. The new tax would be $12,162. That's a cut of 7.6%.
Not bad
for the teachers.
Not bad.
How about a fast food worker? Someone who texts in saying they're actually a cashier.
Right.
Make about $21,000. I've got that here. $21,680. The current tax. $1,226. The new tax would be $971. That's a tax cut of 20%.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lower tax, so you're really talking about $300.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It seems like a smaller numbers. That was the complaint Democrats had, is that, the numbers are smaller because as a percentage of your salary, that's what it is.
And 773 makes a great point. And this is a point that we're not getting into on this program, is that people, yes, there's a happiness to read these numbers and say, yes, you're getting a tax cut, but the deductions have changed, so it may all balance out in the wash when you go in there and you were once able to deduct this and you can't anymore.
Such as state and local taxes.
Right.
And if you have a high mortgage interest
rate
that you're paying right now, that will also take into account and steal some of that money back, you could say. $100,000, here's just sort of a nice a baseline. $100,000 salary would they say it's the average for veterinarians and financial services agents. Right around $100,000, you would be currently paying $15,000 federal tax. It'd go down to it would go down to $14,000. So you get extra $1,300, equivalent to about an 8% cut.
And like I said, I mean, I do radio on the side. My full time job is model, and that's on here. Model is on there.
And how much you make in there?
It says average salary is $36,000. I make millions, but this is just salary is $36,500, which is such a small number for models, don't you think?
Hand model or like professional?
I think it's all
model. Beard model, I would say.
Beard model. Current tax is $34.58. The new tax would be $27.57. 20% tax cut.
Hello,
Justin. I'm looking to get into the modeling game, so if you can, mention my name to some of the insiders.
Oh gosh, yeah, you too.
Sounds like they don't really make that much, Kevin. I don't know.
I can use a few extra bucks here and there.
And I think you should also mention to all of our listeners that while they'll be getting those tax breaks in 2020, they'll go away.
That's a good point. There is a sliding scale.
Let's be happy for a minute, and then there's that phase out for mostly middle and lower income, but not for wealthier. So.
Yeah,
I don't know what the threshold is. Maybe a couple hundred thousand.
Mm-hmm.
It had a good run for 2 years.
Certainly, you as a model will do just fine, Justin. Maybe Kevin as a sportscaster, not so much.
Maybe. And as pointed out, I mean, Congress, what they're hoping, and you hear all the congressmen talk about that there'll be enough pressure that when those tax cuts actually get up, that the current, whoever's the current Congress and climate will extend them.
When they're looking at it as sort of a budget gimmick to meet certain guidelines in terms of deficit and that kind of thing, and that there'll be a renegotiation period is what some Republicans behind this tax plan are saying. We'll see. There's a big we'll see there.
That's called contemporary government, Anna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll just believe. We'll just believe they'll do the right thing at the right time. How's that working out for us? Kevin, I think you should be like a food model, like eating food, because it's one of your passions.
Like just stuffing my face with a cheeseburger or something?
Yeah, like pizza model.
The old hamburgers? Euro posters at the hot dog places where the 80s haircut, the woman would be eating a Euro like, with the hot dog. And that could be you, Kev.
It had gotten in the sun for so many years that you could barely even see the outline of the model or the Euro anymore, but you knew what it was.
We need new posters out there at the hot dog stands.
The Euro looks exactly the same, but the model has changed.
The hairstyles have changed over time, we've noticed. Let's check in with Violetta. She has a great hairstyle, and she also has the traffic trouble spots.
That's from Ovation Cell Therapy.
All right, Justin Kaufman, should we continue with this? We've got a couple minutes
here. Let's go to Paul. Paul, what do you do, Paul?
I am an electrical construction sales.
That's like three jobs in one.
Yeah.
Very important.
Well, it's sales for like construction jobs for the electrical system.
Okay. And you put down on the call, and I see the screen, that you combined it with your wife makes a hefty salary as well. But let's just go with yours for now, because I don't know how that works. Like, when you combine them together, you're actually – 175 is what we're looking at, right? So
what it does is it compounds it, and they don't take enough out of either one of our salaries for the total. So,
well, here's what they have for that range. When I look at this Business Insider piece, dentists make $173,860, right? That's the average.
Yeah,
the current tax, $31,000. Tax under the Republican plan would be $30,111. So you're talking about a 3% tax cut. The higher you get, of course, in your income, the less of the tax break you're going to get. But and include your wife, it gets bigger than this article gives us.
But remember, the standard deduction is doubled, so now $24,000. The first $24,000 you make, and if you file jointly, that's what we're talking about here. $24,000 would be tax free, and then they'd start the counter after that, so to speak.
A couple of truck drivers are called in. Commercial drivers show up. There's a variety of range in this job, but the average salary is $53,990. The current tax is $59.19. The tax under the new plan would be $51.77. That's a 12% decrease. And again, I'm getting a lot of texts in that are saying, they're trying to take the joy out of our segment here, trying to take the wind out of the sails, essentially saying you're not telling us about the deductions.
Sure,
that are not,
that's a big part of this, but you've got to figure that out.
Yeah, you figure that out.
Because your own interest levels on your mortgage are so variable based on, is your house paid off, or are you paying, are you at the beginning of a mortgage where it's mostly interest? Are you at the end of it?
I'm not TurboTax. I can't tell you all that stuff.
That's
and
right.
I know it probably is going to work out. But I'm just saying specifically on what you make, here's what the income tax type.
And the thing to know is it's combined. State and local income taxes and mortgage interest, $10,000 you get to deduct after that. You're on your own. We are going to check the, what we got coming up. We have, we're going to talk to Andy Anatko about your iPhone, why you think it might not be working right. Is it slower than you thought? You updated the new software. What's up with that? A lot of complaints there. And then we've got the Globetrotters in to sort of take us home this afternoon. We've got Judy News, Judy's News coming up in 2 minutes. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, in the 5 o'clock hour. Justin Kaufman sitting in with us this evening.
Lil Ro.
Lil Ro. Is that what your rap name is?
That's my AM talk show rap name.
So much we're learning about you. Part-time model.
Part-time model. Spy.
Wannabe basketball player.
Wannabe basketball player. And Lil Ro.
And Lil Ro rapper. Maybe we'll have you rap for us later. Yeah. It's a special time of day, Justin. We all look forward to this time every single day at this time. And we are going to check in at...
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now. It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Just for effect.
Let's go.
All right.
Three, two.
All right, there.
Let's checking in at
number five.
Here we go. Three of Dustin Hoffman's sexual abuse accusers gave an interview with NBC Nightly News on Monday, where they recalled several unsettling claims from their past experiences with the notable actor. Corey Thomas described an incident from 1980 where she was invited to spend the day with Hoffman because she was friends with his daughter. Thomas said that while she waited for her parents to pick her up from Hoffman's hotel room, that's when the actor disrobed, asked the teenager to give him a foot massage.
And he came out of the bathroom, after a few moments with a towel around him and literally dropped the towel. And I just froze. I'd never seen a man naked in my life at this point. I was kind of an awkward young girl. I'd never kissed anyone. He was being suggestive. He kept saying, you know, I'm naked.
Oh, gee. Gosh.
So how about that foot massage?
I don't know. It's sad when some of your heroes are starting to be accused in these areas, too, right? When you hear some of this stuff.
Especially,
you don't want to believe it.
These incidents, especially Dustin Hoffman, I have to say, like, the incidents that they continue to come out, the allegations, of course, and people coming forward, They are in the creeper variety, man. We're talking like that's a perfect one where you're just like, okay, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I want a foot massage. Oops.
Right. There's some in the gray area where you're like, okay, they name calling or whatever, and that's bad enough. It can be considered harassment. Yeah. But then you move into this with multiple people coming forward who didn't know each other, all repeating similar stories, and you just, well, it's troubling. It's troubling. So that is the latest on Dustin Hoffman. And then there are several other members of Congress also that there's some new news on and troubling new details there. But we're going to move on and check in at
number four.
The White House expects a tax reform bill out of Congress sometime today. And boy, it passed the House today. We're expecting it to go through the Senate, and then it needs the president's signature. He says he's going to sign it by Christmas, get that money back in people's pockets, he promises, by early next year. Friday deadline also looms, we should say, a story that gets undercovered because of the tax reform bill being so significant. There's a looming issue right now, funding the government. That's kind of a big deal. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders today asked if the administration thinks there'll be a shutdown this week. Here's what she said.
We hope not. Our goal is to get this done without having that happen. We want to work with Republicans and Democrats to make sure we fund our government and make sure we get tax cuts passed. Those are two big priorities for this week. We're going to continue working with both Democrats and Republicans to ideally make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So
I hope it doesn't happen, right? Because that would be an epic failure.
I have to say, I have been pleasantly surprised with President Trump. In both situations where he's had government shutdown in front of him, he has cut deals with Democrats and Republicans to extend it. The question, it's extended deadline, and this deadline is coming up. So the question is, where is there going to be a come to Jesus moment about the debt ceiling and everything else that goes into funding a government so there isn't a shutdown? Or is this going to be the MO of this administration where they just keep punting the ball, go six more months, and have this sort of, I don't know, fake, it's not fake, but this idea that everything is okay, everything is rosy?
Well, you got to think there's some issues that are binary. You're going to see Democrats vote one way and Republicans vote another. But I think if you survey the American public, does anybody want a shutdown? Is anybody not going to point a finger at just about everybody in Congress if it happens? You know, it feels like you can play a political football game here and say it's Democrats' fault or Republicans' fault. But at the end of the day, I think voters are going to look at it and say, here's this nonsense out of Washington again. They can't get it together.
I mean, think about it. This is the government shutdown has been a part of American politics since the Clinton administration, maybe even before that. I'm only dating myself and being of voting age, but I feel like it was the Clinton administration that they shut down the government at one point. I remember that was always on the table with the Bush administration, the Obama administration. They went to blows with the Boehner-led Congress. It has become a fact in American politics that there will be a moment where a government shutdown is threatened.
Yeah. How about it? We also want to hear one more thing, and this is fascinating, from Sarah Sanders. She was asked, listen to this, if President Trump believes aliens exist.
Thanks, Sarah. I actually want to ask about UFOs. Several media reports this week disclosed that... Sorry.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's a coincidence or not. I feel like I already want to pass on this question, given that you've got aliens sitting among you.
Several media reports disclose the existence of a secret Pentagon program that was researching UFOs. Funding ran out for that in 2012. Does the president believe in the existence of UFOs, and would he be interested in restoring funding for that program?
Somehow that question hasn't come up in our back and forth over the last couple days, but I will check into that and be happy to circle back. Jennifer.
I'm kind of happy about that it didn't come up.
Yeah.
Because the former head of the Pentagon, you know, he's come out and said, my personal belief is there is compelling evidence that we may not be alone. And I think there are a lot of people who say, hey, you can't assume that we're not alone. But these ideas that we've actually seen spacecraft and, you know, potentially close to landing on Earth and things like this, it starts to get a little bit out there.
Somewhere along the line, it became with UFOs and extraterrestrial sightings, or even the concept that we would all believe that we're not alone, became in quack science. Where this idea that we all, you're crazy. Look at this crazy guy with his theories about extraterrestrial life or UFOs. I don't know where that happened. I don't know if that's pop culture or what it is, because I think any sane person would recognize that, yes, there's probably a bigger world out there that doesn't just revolve around human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And there would be, without sounding like a quack, right?
Right.
I mean, it just seems like that would be a normal thing. The president should be able to say, yeah, I feel like there's probably life outside.
There's potential for sure.
We're checking that stuff out.
As the technology increases, you see new planets being discovered and, you know, new areas where, you know, there'll be exploration on that. It's just come up again because of this former head of the secret UFO hunting program, you know, from the Pentagon has come out and stirred up people again. And so that's out there. 2017, checking in at...
Hold on 1 second. Before we do that, this is the Top 5 at 5 in the Rokan Show, brought to you by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again. And why don't we do a quick traffic update? We'll do a traffic update. Let's go to Violetta, see what's up with the roads. Violetta? Flashback to the 80s, laugh along with the Goldbergs, starring Chicago's very own Jeff Garlin, weeknights at 10:30 and 11 on WGN-TV.
All right, we're in the middle of the Top 5 at 5. Anna DeBlunt is here with Justin Kaufman sitting in this evening for Rokan. Mm. And checking in at...
Number 3.
2017 was quite the year, has been, it's not over yet, quite the year for women. So the Daily Show thought it was appropriate in their yearly recap special to acknowledge some of their biggest moments in a song. Correspondents Desi Littick and Dulcie Sloan collaborated to write the anthem, while Roy Wood Jr. served as the musical producer. Listen in.
Started this year marching hand in hand to show that grabber with the terrible tan.
Well, everywhere I looked, a lady resisted. Tried to stop Lizzie.
Yes, she persisted.
All around the world we've come so far. Saudi women sitting at the wheel of a vehicle.
PM champs for all we preached. South Korean women even getting impeached. What a year for women. It's why we're
take us home.
What?
What a year.
That's Hillary Clinton lip syncing, in case you were wondering. If you know, you hadn't noticed all these years, she had this great set of pipes. She was a part of that video. And wow. All
right. She should have come in and said what happened.
What had happened was. It's a good point.
She had a good year, though, this year. Last year, she had a terrible
year.
She
had a book, right?
She had a book, yeah.
What else did she do?
Bestseller.
Last year.
Still on the book tour.
Last year, she lost the presidency. This year, she had a best-selling book.
Good for her.
So, yeah. So, it's rebound.
Yes, it is.
She's also part of the Women Had a Great Year, right?
She is. Checking in at
number two.
All right. You see this? Roy Moore's wife dedicated an anti-Muslim pro-medical marijuana song. Yes, she did. Titled Pissed Off Rednecks.
Sure.
She dedicated to her husband on social media. In a message posted to her Facebook page and shared to the friends of Roy Moore's account, Kayla Moore wrote that she is dedicating the song by singer Jamie Jones to her husband. The 2015 song by Jones mentions welfare, immigration, prayer in schools, and oh so much more in the lyrics. Listen here.
Mr. Stick-haired politician, got some news for you. If you want to come and try to take my gun, oh, you better be bulletproof. And don't try to tell my children far gone, we're still standing on land of the free and the home of the brave. No, I'm not your normal political society. This is coming from real America's son and pissed off rednecks like me.
Wow.
Woo. You want to hear more? We got a couple more clips.
Yeah, do I?
Yeah,
I already downloaded that.
There's
one.
There's a payoff.
While it was coming out the phone, I was like, yep, like, in. Now let's hear it.
You know I won't press one for English. I just as soon hang up the phone. If you want to serve in a Muslim church, go and take your ass back home. And take yourself to work if you're able. Instead of living off our dime, just give me a handout. Generation is gonna bleed this country dry. Yes, I think it's time that we change your policy. This is coming from real America's son and pissed off rednecks like me.
So I kind of liked it until the second clip got a little dark.
A little dark for you? Too dark for you?
Yeah, but I liked the first clip.
Sure. I love the beat.
Yeah. One more, you guys, to see if you can make up your minds if you love it or hate it.
Old folks, they came to afford medication. Obamacare's a joke. If it'll help me with your sickness, I say fire it up and take a toll. We need to lock down all the borders, throw away the key, and let's help our own right here at home. Stop sending it overseas. Yeah, right now, raise your glass if you agree.
All right, I think we've heard enough. Justin, like it?
I love the music. I love the choreography. I love the costumes. I give it an 88.
Okay. Kevin, do you like it?
Negative 88.
Negative 88. Doesn't like it. Wow. Okay, Simon. We got Violetta.
I'm on a 50. I like it and I hate it.
It's kind of like a little both. If you listen too intently, you might hear something you don't like, but okay. Great voice, great presentation would be my read. By the way, Roy Moore has still not conceded in the election 1 week ago in Alabama. He's waiting for those military ballots to come in, but many election officials say that really probably not going to make a difference, and it's inevitable. So we'll see when that's certified, and we do believe Doug Jones is still.
Well, I hope that he doesn't concede so this song gets more popularity. Like, I just like to see this make the thing now that, you know, Ryan Seacrest going, Nick, coming in at number 14.
Well, it's a 2015 song.
Oh, it
I guess that has escaped many of us, but there it is.
But it's still relevant.
All right,
it's really relevant today with its issues.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It sort of taps into everybody's views on politics. All right, we're going to check in at
number one.
The Grinch isn't about to screw up the holidays for a 5-year-old kid in Mississippi who called 911 to report the possible heist. Tylan Pittman dialed 911 over the weekend from his home outside Jackson, and he meant business. In the Ultimate Neighborhood Watch movie, Tylan informed police he'd caught wind that some guy named Grinch was trying to steal everyone's Christmas.
Hello?
Yes. Who am I speaking with? This is the Byron Police Department. We had a 911 hang up from this number.
Okay. I just want to tell you something. Watch for the Grinch, because the Grinch will steal Christmas, okay?
Okay. Do you have any adults there with you?
My mom's gone.
How old are you?
After I grow up, I'm going to be a police.
That wasn't the question. Super cute. Probably not the reason to call 911, but there's a little more, and it is even cuter.
I can call me if you want to, because I will help you. I'm too fast.
Oh, really?
Hold on, my daddy said a cop, tell you something. 911, my dad said to talk to you. It's 911.
911?
What? He's telling his parents.
Yes, this is the Byron Police Department. We had several 911 hang-ups from this number.
Boy, you been playing on the phone? Huh? Oh, sorry. Hey, the Grinch ain't gonna steal your cribble, boy. You can start watching cartoons so much.
y'all have a Merry Christmas, okay?
The truth of it is that the kid's like, hey, there's a Grinch stealing Christmas.
He
if we would have
it.
Listened, then the Grinch would never have been able to steal Christmas. The kid was right.
Poor little five-year-old.
Nobody listens to the
he
kids.
Was just trying to speak up for what I he like saw it. Was wrong. We're with you, Tylan. Let's wrap this thing up.
The top five at five.
This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Ro is off today, and sitting in is Justin Coffin.
Yes.
You know him, you love him from the download. Typically later on in the evening,
typically.
But gracious enough to sit in with us early.
I got a nice long shift interrupted by Northwestern basketball.
Yeah,
but I've decided,
pleasantly interrupted.
Yeah, pleasantly
Go Cats.
Go Cats. But I've decided just for the WGN listener, I'm going to play in that game tonight.
Oh.
So I'm going to play for the Wildcats tonight. So
because you revealed to us that you know a thing or two about basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I know how to dribble it between my legs, and then I know how to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
That's
get
helpful.
It to go in.
Oh,
but I definitely know how to put it in the air.
I don't think the Cats need that kind of help.
So, yeah, just so you can get a full 8 hours of Kaufman, I will be playing power forward tonight for the Cats.
Maybe just go get coffee across the street and watch it on TV or listen to it on radio here, because that's the best way to hear it of all time. Hey, I have friends, and maybe listeners will relate to this. Maybe you'll relate to this, Justin. I have friends who swear, and I almost feel like sometimes I'm in this camp when I get so mad at my iPhone because we rely on our phones for so much these days. They swear, though, that Apple intentionally slows down these older models or to force you to upgrade.
Oh,
and
that's
get the
ultimate
one.
Conspiracy theory, right? I mean, I know it as an Apple user. Every time a new phone comes out, just mysteriously your older
like
phone starts to get slower or malfunctions.
Or there's
the
a new software update and it makes it worse.
And so you always
like
automatically feel like the company is trying to push their latest thing and not necessarily be okay with you holding on to the old stuff.
All right, well, we're going to find out if there's any truth to that at all. The go-to guy in tech is Andy Anatko. You know him from syndicated columnist in the Sun-Times. You can read him there and across the country in many papers. And you can also follow him on Twitter at @AInotco. Andy, thank you for joining us to try to settle this one for everybody, because I'm sure you're hearing it too, right?
Yeah, the moon landings, JFK, iPhone floatouts, it's all connected.
Is it in that category? This one feels real. This one does feel real. And that new software, I got to tell you, I don't like it. And maybe am I just not adjusted to it yet, or is it not popular?
Do you mean the slowdown effect or just overall?
I think
they
it slows
made a lot
down.
Of changes in this latest version.
And
yeah.
The latest version doesn't allow me to multitask. I used to be able to be, you know, getting rid of a bunch of emails and deleting them while kind of going back and forth and doing other functions. And now I feel like I have to stop, delete several emails, and then go back to another function. And it feels like it's limited me.
Yeah. Well, the slowdown is real, but it's like in the voice of your parents, this is for your own good, they're saying. Here's what was happening. When your phone's battery becomes really old, so let's say you've got an iPhone 6, Old batteries tend to do unpredictable things, and they were having problems where an old battery would be down to like 40%, and then suddenly, boom, it shuts off because right. it's just not enough power. Also, it's an old battery, so instead of getting all day power, now maybe you're getting only 6 or 7 hours. So what the new software does is it takes a look at your battery, and if it sees, and it can check the health of your battery. Mm-hmm. When it finds out that you've got a worn out battery, it will actually throttle down the CPU so that your battery lasts longer, and that hopefully we won't just suddenly have a cutoff of 40%. But yeah, so your phone definitely is slowing down. I'm sure it would make Apple very, very happy if you bought a new phone. But you could also go into the Apple store and have them just put in a brand new battery. And that's, I think, about, the last time I checked, I think it was about $100. If you do it yourself, which isn't all that difficult, it's down to about $20-25.
Andy, let me ask you, as the corporation is Apple, I mean, do they have any sort of standard policy that says, this is what we're going to serve if you're an iPhone 5 or beyond or, you know, earlier? We're out of that game of trying to service those phones. It's time for you to upgrade or move on. I mean, is there a point where they're at, if you're less than an iPhone 6, say, then you're kind of out of luck?
Apple is actually very good in this regard. You can have really old hardware, and they will do everything and move heaven and earth to make sure the latest version of the operating system still works. You might not get certain features that require the special new hardware, like Touch ID or the Face ID, but in terms of longevity, if you buy a phone this year, you can expect it to be still working 3, 4, 5 years from now. Google is different. When Google sells you a Pixel phone, their general policy is that you will definitely get automatic updates to the new operating systems for, I think, the next 2, maybe 3 years. After that, they're not guaranteeing anything. And so you can actually look online and see which phones they have basically made obsolete.
So am I hearing this correctly, Andy? There's absolutely nothing Apple is doing to slow down your phone. They don't want you to buy the new one unless you just love all the new features, and that's going to entice you enough, the facial recognition and all those other things. There's nothing happening to your phone that's controlled by Apple. It's more battery life or just an older phone that's breaking down slowly or...
Right. It's actually Apple trying to make your old phone still work to your satisfaction. They've decided that most people would much rather have a slower phone that lasts all day than a perfectly fast phone that quits out on you at 1 or 2 in the afternoon. So, no, I don't think Apple's really, really good at tricking us emotionally into buying the new shiny.
Oh, so true.
They don't need to talk you out of buying out of it. Once the first time you use Face ID, they know that certain people, their digits start to twitch a little bit. And then, okay, we got them.
Are you loving it? Because I know you have access to that. Are you liking the new version? Is it worth it?
I think it's very, very good. Whether it's worth $1,000 or not, only individual people can tell. But Face ID works exceptionally well. It's almost impossible to trick, and it's almost like having an unlocked phone. You just lift it up and don't even wait for it to unlock. You just swipe up, and it's unlocked for you. So yeah, that's a pretty darn good feature. Also, they put in brand new parts of the CPU for stuff like augmented reality. That's where you're seeing Smurfs in your living room fetching your remote control. And things like security has been updated, again, with a lot of stuff that happens on the chip. So I say my usual explanation for everything technologically is don't buy a new something unless you think that new something is going to either create a new opportunity for you or solve a problem for you. Otherwise, if you wait a year, you'll probably get something better for the same amount of money.
Andy, you know, I'm always fascinated by the loyalty wars of both Android and Apple. This concept that you know, customers are very loyal to one kind of phone or another. As these new phones come out and they want $1,000 for an iPhone X, are companies like Apple, are they trying to attract customers from the Android base that have never been a customer to Apple before, or are they relying on the lifelong Apple user to continue using the product?
Well, they can certainly do both. But when you think about how many iPhones they've sold, they really can't afford to leave any money on the table. So they're very, very proud when they announce a new iPhone to say, here's how many people came to iPhone from Android this past year. And this is also why they're having those less expensive phones from previous years still on the price list, which used to be unfathomable. They used to cancel the previous phones as soon as the new ones come in.
Right.
But now they realize that there are people who do not want to spend even $800 for a phone. They have to have a $300, $400, $500 phone to compete with Android. They don't know if they got any solutions for countries like India, where they're expecting even less expensive phones. But they really want to get everybody in that boat as possible, because they're running out of people to sell iPhones to.
Is that the idea, is that you're going to see more of these price points instead of what Apple has done in the past, where it's like Apple 4, 5, 6, 5S, 6X, you know, all the way down? Are you going to see now them offering an X, an 8, and a 7 at the same time?
Well, yeah, you can buy the 6, you can buy the 7, I think you can buy the 6, the iPhone SE, which is their budget plastic body phone, is still on the price list. So they're definitely up there. However, Apple has $230 billion in cash, and they're like the most profitable company in tech. So they don't they have the luxury of not doing anything they don't want to do. Whereas Motorola, for instance, can make a beautiful phone for $125 to $200, and these are superb phones. Apple doesn't want to cut the corners you have to cut in terms of performance, in terms of camera quality, in terms of screen display, to make stuff like that. The Motorola is an amazing phone. It's great, but of course you can't have Face ID that works in a phone that costs $200.
Favorite phone? Do you have one?
Right now, it's actually the Pixel 2. I just like the way that the Android operating system works, but it really would have to be a tie between that and the iPhone 10. I still have Apple's loaners going back probably in the next few weeks, and I got to admit, I've been keeping both of them in my pocket for the past month and a half. They're just two superbly good phones.
And address the issue of the new software as well, because I know maybe it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know. I have friends and somebody on this very show, somebody who's absent from the show today, hint, hint, who believe firmly they will not download the new software because they've heard nightmarish stories from all their friends and family that if you download it, it's going to cause negative impact on your phone.
Yeah, that's not all silly. Apple's had kind of a bad year, bad luck with releasing new operating systems. Both iOS shipped with a whole bunch of bugs that are pretty much taken care of right now. The new Mac operating system shipped with the worst bug in Macintosh history, where anybody could log into your computer without a password.
Just, gosh.
A little problem like that. Phil Schiller, who's one of like the top five people at Apple, gave an interview, I think, to The Independent today or sometime this week, and said, "Oh, we had a bad week, and we're looking at ways to make sure that doesn't happen again." But yeah, I mean, I think usually for my own use, I always make sure that, let's say that a new operating system update comes out on Tuesday, and I'm flying to San Francisco for 3 days on Wednesday, I'm not going to update until I get home, and until a time where I can afford to be without a phone. But that's just for Android. That's for Windows. That's for Mac. And realize that if you do opt out of certain updates, updates deliver security features. Apple is always finding new bugs they didn't find before, new ways to break into your phone and get your data. And that's why they keep releasing all these little patches to close down all those doors that bad people have found. So maybe you want to hold off for a week or so just to make sure that you're not getting a lot of reports from the outside about a bad release. But you definitely want to make sure you keep all your computer's software up to date.
Because it's a security risk is what you're saying. So you might gain something on this one side, but then you're going to lose on the other side. Andy, since we have you here, any ideas about Christmas gifts, tech gifts that you love that you'd recommend to people if they're still running around trying to figure out what to get people?
Best thing, right now it's kind of last minute, so you might not get stuff in time. So that's when you should go to the iTunes store, the Google Play store, the Amazon Digital store, and buy movies, buy seasons of TV shows. You can buy these gifts. Go to services like Netflix and Hulu and Marvel Comics Unlimited, where you can basically read tens of thousands of comics, if you're a member. You can buy gift memberships. And so that's something that you can do as late as when you're upstairs and you see your brother-in-law driving into the driveways, and you didn't know that he was coming, and you have to have something for them.
It's like, shoot, quick, download it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
So that's definitely my last. As a matter of fact, hopefully in the next couple of days, you'll see on the Sun-Times my traditional last-second gift guide of particular services that I like and I recommend that do offer these gifts, online digital gift certificates. Just, see if you can sneak out to the drugstore and get some sort of a card to stick it in, or at least a bag of Fritos to tape it to give them something tangible to chew on while they're at the party.
I like Oreos. Yeah, that's a good idea, Andy. Thank you so much. And we can read you in the Sun Times. We can follow you on Twitter. Thanks so much for weighing in on this with us today.
Thanks,
appreciate
folks.
It. We're going to break here to check the traffic trouble spots with Violetta Podramatic. This is the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. This whole talking about the iPhone and its capabilities and the software and everything led us to an interesting privacy question. Texter asks, you have it there,
yeah.
Justin?
Bobby asked about facial recognition. That's the big thing at the new iPhone. Mm-hmm. And a big story today saying that Facebook is looking into using facial recognition. Mm-hmm. So you can just go to the Facebook app on your iPhone and they would scan your face.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Nikola Mirotic, got his face broken by Bobby Portis. But facial recognition doesn't mean that evildoers, or in some cases the police, can get into your phone by holding it up to your face.
And it's possible. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, and Jeff and I were just talking about it. There's already precedent in this because the last phone, iPhone, was your fingerprint. You would put your thumbprint on and that would unlock, and there was the idea that the police already had the right to your fingerprint because that's how they will collect that data on you. They already have fingerprints.
Remember that plane that was forced to make the emergency landing when the wife held the sleeping husband's fingerprint up to the phone?
Is that what that was?
And decided that she learned a little or something or two that she didn't know about her husband, and then
that's how she did it. He was sleeping. Oh, I didn't know.
So the facial recognition,
like right out of a Nicolas Cage kind of thing, right?
Is. The software works the same
but
way.
But they're going to have to. I mean, it's such a good story about the privacy issues and the way that not just bad guys but also good guys deal with the new ways that we collect data in this world.
Yeah,
so facial recognition, if that's a way for me to go, oh, hey, I this is going to unlock my phone, who else can use that? Can they force me to look at my phone to get the information out of it?
Right. Yeah. If it's there, are you allowed to use it?
Right. I mean, you've seen some pretty high-profile cases. I believe the terrorist attack in San Bernardino where they had asked Apple to unlock that phone and Apple wouldn't do it. And they really had no way to get at that phone because there wasn't the fingerprint and all that kind of stuff.
But they then figured it out. I guess right now they're saying, you know, police can't force you to reveal your password to unlock your phone, but without a warrant, that is.
Right.
But it seems that there have been some court rulings in favor of them being allowed to use your face or even your fingerprint to access.
It's winding its way through the courts.
Yeah, it's probably an issue for the Supreme Court, you would think, with the number of cases that will grow as more and more people get facial recognition.
I cannot wait till the
Supreme Court
justices...
To see what Clarence Thomas asks on that question.
Tries to explain to them what face recognition is.
So you put your face up to the phone?
What is a phone?
What's a phone? Where's the cord?
Remember one of them asked, is that like a pager? When the Supreme Court justice says, "Now the cell phone, when you do the text thing, when you operate that part, is it like a pager?"
They're definitely with it.
They're with it, yeah.
But I'm sure they'll figure it out for us. Somebody needs to, right? It is an interesting area of law, though.
You want the top justices in the world, or in our country at least, to weigh in on those conversations and. If they don't know what a phone is,
you can disable your face ID. Also,
yes.
Listener is letting us know, so that's something you could do. Just
not if you're handicapped,
or if you're in custody.
I mean, handcuffed.
All of a sudden.
I meant to say handcuffed.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's important correction. But you're right. If you're in police custody, could they use it? See who you texted.
That's
see
my new.
What you were
that's
doing.
That's my new put down. Why don't you disable your face? What do you think? Does that work?
No,
it's not a good enough
burn.
It's
almost as with it as the Supreme Court justices.
I thought it was a good burn. Like, it'd be like a tech burn.
Yeah, tech burn.
I don't know. Tech burn.
That's Andy and Akko.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, maybe I could be the tech burn guy.
And what about identical twins? Does, you know, if you have an identical twin, does it open your phone?
Exactly. I know. So, yeah, it's a strange area. And do they have a privacy right to your information? Because I think that's the part.
They got to reboot Face Off with Nicolas Cage and... who's the other
Travolta.
One? Travolta.
Seeing the iPhone X in action, though, the face recognition, it's amazing.
It's cool.
It's so like
makes you want the phone.
My brother has it, and I saw him use it for a few days, and he says it makes his life so much easier.
All right, you know, there you go. Yeah.
Harlem Globetrotters are coming up here. We're going to take a break here and hear from Judy's News in 2 minutes. So stay with us.
Doesn't know that song, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Love it.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. I'm Justin Coffin, in for Rokan tonight. Mm-hmm. It's a holiday tradition to have the Harlem Globetrotters come through Chicago. They come through right between Christmas and New Year's every year. They got two big shows coming up here, one at the United Center on the 28th. both at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Double headers.
And then they got the Allstate Arena out in Rosemont on the 29th, same times. In studio tonight, Dragon Taylor, Bucket Blakes, two of the members of the Harlem Globetrotters. Great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
So let's talk about this. I mean, you obviously are on the tour with the Globetrotters. What's it mean to come through Chicago? I mean, to have this date right between Christmas and New Year's, it is a tradition for a lot of Chicago families to come watch you guys play.
Definitely. You know, we started here in Chicago in 1926, so It's such a tradition for these families in this area. I know it's always cold here, but it's always warm welcomes for the Harlem Globetrotters.
Totally.
You know, getting an opportunity to play four games, I think, is also pretty awesome. So it gives every family an opportunity to come watch the Harlem Globetrotters, because I think traditionally a lot of them know that we come here in between Christmas and New Year's.
Yeah. And it's kind of a generational thing, too. I remember my first going to see the Globetrotters and just being wowed out of my mind. Now I plan to take my daughter there, and it feels like generations, like, you got to go see this.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a great introduction, first introduction to the game of basketball, where the kids are getting an opportunity to interact with the team. You know, we sign autographs after every single game. Before we go into the locker room, we have an amazing mascot named Globy, who you know, does a little crowd thing. He gets a crowd participating on the court with him, and you get to meet us before every game too. We have something called Magic Pass, where you get to get the ball spent on your finger. You get to take a shot on a professional court, which kids love to do, as well as try on Globetrotter gear, those big shorts, big jersey, size 20 shoes.
Does we put out there. I mean, for you guys, you've been in it for a while. I'm going to bring you in here, Dragon, as well. But the, I mean, how much do you have to adjust your understanding of basketball to recognize that it's a show? Meaning it's basketball, and it's amazing athleticism of what you guys do. But what you were just talking about, the beginning, the interacting with the kids, the way that you deal with the audience before the game even starts, is that's new for athletes who usually aren't part of that.
Yeah, you know, it's important. You know, one thing about the Globetrotters, you have to have a personality. If you don't have a personality, it's not for you. So each and every person, you know, they are very goofy and funny.
Totally.
So, yeah, it fits us well. You know, each person they select, you know, there's only 30 of us.
Right.
So it's a select few that's able to become.
Did you have to make a transition in your mind as athletes to think about, oh, I'm more than an athlete when I become a Harlem Globetrotter?
Well, I kind of figured that that's how it was going to be in the first place. I mean, and it's not more of a transition as far as, you know, being a good person, because that's what they're looking for in the first place when they scout you. It's the learning how to turn it on and turn it off, going from strictly competitive to, you know, competitive, entertain.
Right.
You got to learn to flick that switch. And he did a great job of it. So that's why, you know, this is his fifth season now.
Yeah.
And Dragon, you're from Chicago originally. So what was your background in basketball here? Like, tell us what exposed you to the sport.
Well, I went to Thornwood High School.
Oh.
And after that, I ended up going
great
to Northern
program.
Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Northern Michigan, and way in the UP, freezing cold.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You did your time.
Yeah, and after that, you know, I played professionally in the D-League in a few places, and one day I was at home. I got a call from the Globetrotters. I was like, oh, my God, the Globetrotters are calling me. So excited. I said, I don't know any tricks.
You'll learn,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah,
so. Is that how it goes? Tons,
yeah.
Right.
It was like that part comes. You know, most importantly, you got to have a personality. You got to be able to play basketball. So I go into the tryout, and it's just strictly basketball. I said, oh, this is cool. I got to just, you know, play. That's it. And after that, they said the tricks will come later on, and I picked up on them in a few years. So,
is it hard to pick up on the tricks? I mean, because beyond professional – like, I think a lot of professional players who a lot of people watch on ESPN and other places say these are the best athletes in basketball history. They can't do a trick shot. They don't know how to spin. You know, they don't do a lot of the things that you guys have to do. Is it tough to pick up those tricks over time?
Go ahead.
It depends on the person. When I first came, it took me 4 months to spin the ball on my finger. I was knocking over lamps in the hotel.
That's great.
And I had no idea how to
do
it.
It is that hard.
Yeah.
Because I watch y'all do it, and then I try to do it, and it's like, no, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's hard.
It's not. It doesn't come naturally, no.
No, it takes a lot of practice. You know, we practice a lot, you know, before the game, even back at the hotel. So, you know, it takes a lot of practice, a lot of time. And after a while, you start to pick up on things, and you learn things accidentally and, you know, and on purpose as well.
Yeah, so it is. You got people around you that want to help out. Like, I'm a veteran now, but when I know I first came in, you know, they give the rookies a ball to take back to their room to knock everything over, trying to figure out a routine. I knew how to, fortunately for me, I knew how to spin the ball on my finger when I got to the team.
Yeah.
But it's nothing that
Lucky
I've ever done in a game. But all the tricks, you know, like you said, they come after. and they're scouting you. They're based on, it's based on three criteria. They're looking for great basketball players. Mm-hmm. They're looking for great athletes, and they're looking for great people, because we transcend the basketball court with our community outreach programs, anti-bullying program. The ABCs of bullying prevention. We put that together with the National Campaign to Stop Violence. We have a program called Cheer for Character. We put that together with the U.S. Department, State Department, and then the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports. We put a program together called SPIN, which stands for Some Playtime Is Necessary. And last but not least, my favorite is our hospital visits, and that's called the Smile Patrol. So you got to be capable of all of that.
Well, and what about so bullying? The bullying, that's interesting to me. So you have a partnership with that, and what do you do as part of that program, that community outreach?
We're visiting over 400 schools a season, and we're in the communities that we're playing in. We're hitting so many schools, and we're letting the kids know the ABCs of bullying prevention. The A is action, the B is bravery, and the C is compassion. And those are some simple ingredients we want to share with the kids to treat each other with kindness so they have a carefree learning environment. And we actually went to his old elementary school.
Oh, cool.
While we were here.
Kindness is
how was that?
Overrated.
That was amazing. I saw some of the same teachers I had as well, so it was amazing to come back.
He's a young buck. My teachers are gone.
You've been on 16 seasons, right?
Yes.
So when you went back, they're like, oh my gosh, you're a globetrotter.
Yeah. It was fun. You know, I got a chance to talk to the principal and some of the old teachers. It's my first time back, so it was, you know, exciting for me. I got a little nervous. You know, it's my first time walking those hallways since like 99. So,
Well, I always think about it as a fan of the Harlem Globetrotters. Growing up in Chicago, the commercials, and we were talking about it earlier, the celebrity around the Globetrotters and the traditional names that we all knew from we were talking about Scooby-Doo and the idea that they had that presence. You know, from when you come from the world of professional basketball, where is the standing of the Harlem Globetrotters? Was it a difficult decision to say, I'm giving up on my dream to, you know, being in the D-League to go to the Globetrotters? Or is it more like that's a huge opportunity, exciting life. I want to go there. I wish I could go there first.
Well, this is my dream. You know, one thing I love about the Globetrotters, we get to interact with the fans. Mm-hmm. Some other teams don't get a chance. We sign autographs after the game. We like a bucket said, we have magic pass too. So we always interacting with people, and that's something I love. And we get to play basketball and do tricks as well. So that's like the most amazing job.
And travel the country.
I've been to 52 countries. So
you've been around the world. So the Globetrotters go everywhere.
Yeah. Hence the Globetrotter.
I just assumed they had a different team that did that, and you guys were here, and I didn't know you did all of it.
We go to all over the place. I've been to 83 countries. I'm on my third passport. They just added 20 pages, so I guess I'm going somewhere else too. But
exciting place. Like what just wowed you that there was an interest in basketball or an interest in the sport? And I imagine
selling out in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. Dubai, Abu Dhabi, El Sayed Tennis Stadium and Dubai Tennis Stadium, selling out, you know, in Dubai was pretty amazing to me. You know, getting the opportunity to play on an aircraft carrier for our troops. We just celebrated our 75th anniversary tour for the troops. So we've been around going in our 92nd year. But 15 consecutive years since I've been on the team, but 75 years total for the troops. And those are my favorite tours because they've been deployed for so many years and months that, I mean, we go over to Japan, Guam, over to Europe. We're going to Djibouti, Africa, Afghanistan, Iraq, even during the Bush administration, you know, when it was crazy over there. So when we walk in with those uniforms on, those troops go nuts. Like, you can see, like, the chills we get through our uniforms, like we're so hyped because we want to be exciting for them, you know.
Bucket Blakes and Dragon amazing. Taylor, two members of the Harlem Globetrotters. They're going to be at the United Center on the 28th of December, the Allstate Arena in Rosemont on the 29th, harlemglobetrotters.com. Let's take a quick break so we can get an update on the traffic situation here with Violetta Podramatic. Take it away. They're Chicago, and they're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten. Get real in the morning with the WGN-TV Morning News Team, weekdays 4 to 10.
Our guests are the two of the Harlem Globetrotters with us here right now. We've got one person from Chicago, Dragon Taylor. He's a Chicago native, and Buckets Blakes, who is from Arizona originally, right?
Yeah.
16 years on the...
This is my 16th season, yeah.
16th season, yeah. Wow.
Chicago South.
And we should say last time y'all we had a female Globetrotter. How many women are on the Globetrotters?
We have 5 women now, but when we come back here and play, because we have a red, white, and a blue tour, so the blue tour will be here. You guys will see Torch. Torch is out of this world. She played at Purdue. Amazing dribbler. She's like a female version of Curly Neal, and we call her Torch because she can light it up as well.
The press release says that this is a revamped Generals team that you guys are playing, like the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
Revamped, and it's not a gimme.
No, they got some like shooters on the team. That's crazy. Well, actually, they were pretty good last year, but this year, I guess they went and got some more guys who could shoot the lights out.
You can't have a Harlem Globetrotters event where the Harlem Globetrotters lose.
Well, we ain't. Yeah. They're revamped. We're not. We're amped.
Ooh, yeah. You heard that?
They can revamp as best they can, but. I mean, their major supporter was Krusty the Clown. Right. So.
Exactly.
That's awesome. And what are the Scooby-Doo roots you were talking about earlier?
I mean, everyone, the old cartoons, I was going to ask about the kind of OG Harlem Globetrotter guys that in the 70s and 80s that were
Curly,
the Curlies and the Metalark.
Geese Osby,
how important are those guys, those names, to the new Harlem Globetrotters that are on the court?
That's what we try and get the newer players to understand, that there were some trailblazers before them that actually help open the floodgates. So, we're the first, the Harlem Globetrotters, the all African American team in 1948, beat the all white Minneapolis Lakers for the world championship, and then again in 49, and in 1950, Nat Sweetwater Clifton, who was on that Harlem Globetrotter team, got first African American to sign the NBA contract to the New York Knicks, and that opened the floodgates.
Yeah.
Then you have your Goose Tatums, and then your Metalark Lemons, and your Curly Neals, Geese Osby, and our legendary coach for 42 years that's with us now, that will be here, is Sweet Lou Dunbar. He had the afro on the cartoon. So he'll be here, but now it's like an old gray box.
It's not Don King looking?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's actually cut off clean. It's not spike clean.
Okay, yeah. All right.
But yeah, he's an awesome guy, and he takes us under his wing and lets us know about the history, and then we share that with the younger players.
And now you have, we have Big Easy, we have Highlight, and we have Ant Atkinson. Those are our showmen, and they're amazing. They can do a lot of great things. So,
I mean, how much of the tricks? Basketball has changed. The game has changed. We've seen so many more acrobatic and athletic athletes be able to play above the rim. How much of the Harlem Globetrotters is above the rim? Meaning, how much are you guys, are the tricks about slam dunks and all the other things, and how much of it is about finesse and ball skills?
It's all that. It's a gumbo of Globetrotters, so to speak. So, so you're talking to an above the rim guy, and then you're talking to a floor general. Like,
above the rim, too.
Yeah, I can jump. But he jumps higher than me, so I'd rather throw it to him.
Well, yeah, I have a 45-inch vertical, so.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, I was looking for someone like myself. Finally, I found someone with the same vertical. That's amazing.
You could jump over our traffic reporter, Violetta. She's about, 45 inches? Is that about right, Violetta? Yeah. We have to see that in action.
I got a 45-inch like rope necklace that I wear.
Uh-huh.
I wrap it around twice, make it look like two necklaces.
Well, I 406 has a great question. I thought about it at the beginning. The Harlem Globetrotters did start in Chicago, but the name, of course, is the Harlem Globetrotters. Talk about that, why it's not the Chicago Globetrotters.
Yeah. Okay, so that goes all the way back to when we started in 1926, in the late 20s and early 30s. The Harlem Renaissance was going on in Harlem, New York. That's when black arts and entertainment started to emerge and make a name for itself. And so Abe Saperstein, who's from here and is actually his granddaughter, took us around today. He thought that it'd be cool to change the name to Harlem so they would know that they were coming up against an all-African-American team, because African-Americans were not allowed to play in white-only leagues. So Harlem was synonymous across the United States for African-Americans because of what was going on in Harlem, New York. So anytime you mentioned the name Harlem, you thought of blacks. So then Globetrotters was just a marketing scheme. He wanted everyone to believe that they were world famous when they only played around the Chicago area at that time. But what a visionary he was. We've been to 123 countries and territories in our 92-year history. So that's kind of how that came about.
Isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, it is. Like, and I'm still fascinated with your career as athletes. When you think about growing up in Arizona or Chicago and thinking about the big dreams of wanting to get to the professional level and play for the Bulls or play for the Phoenix Suns or whoever, to end up on the Globetrotters, there's something unique, special, different, but at the same time completely rewarding about being a Harlem Globetrotter.
I always told myself as a kid that I was going to be a professional athlete ever since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And You know, I was never sports specific. By the time I got to the end of high school, I had a full ride scholarship for football, basketball, and track and field.
Oh, my gosh.
So I chose basketball because it was indoors. I'm from Phoenix. Track practice was hot. Football practice was hot. So, and then I'm pretty sure he might have chose basketball because it's indoors, because track practice would be cold and football practice would be cold for him. So, but no, that's it. I'm living my dream as a professional athlete right now, and I think it's pretty amazing to live out that dream on, you know, the world's greatest basketball team, and we're the home team everywhere we go.
That's so true. And everyone, and then the big smiles. I mean, there is not a picture with a Globetrotter without a big smile on everybody's faces. I mean, that's the thing.
It really
and sometimes,
is.
In some cases, your kid's first exposure to the sport, too, because they come as young kids and maybe they haven't been to a professional basketball game. You know, that's not necessarily an experience for a 5 or 6 year old all the time.
For sure. Yeah, we get that opportunity to make, you know, great first impressions. And I think it speaks volumes that we're the only professional basketball team in the world. When we're done with our game, we don't run to the locker room.
Yep.
They rope off the court. We stand inside the rope, and our fans get to come down for at least 30 minutes or more.
Take pictures.
We get take pictures, high fives, hugs. You can have our sweaty headbands or wristbands if you want.
I love those.
Do you get to meet your favorite player or all the players? And even the legendary Sweet Lou Dunbar and our other coaches are signing autographs, and then they get Globy's autograph too, the mascot. Yeah. Some of the kids come there just to see Globy, and I'm okay with that.
Cool.
You know?
You're okay.
I'm confident enough.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up here, you got the ball here. I mean, I think there is a web camera, so people are watching.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
Maybe put that on your finger while we do the out, so we can I can't even hear it, right?
No, you
can't
hear it.
No, but they can see you on the webcam.
Yeah,
here, we'll get
webcam
up and do something.
All right.
Dragon Taylor and Bucket Blakes, two of the members of the Harlem Globetrotters, the two doubleheaders coming up here, United Center in Chicago on the 28th. They got the Allstate Arena on December 29th. You can hear that ball. Listen to that ball. Yeah.
Wow.
There it is. The tickets at the HarlemGlobetrotters.com. We'll let this ball sound take us out to Judy's. Let's take a listen.